Good afternoon and welcome to the first edition of the KXCB KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Along with Matt Trent, I'm John Coffey. And Matt's a little bit different this year, and it was going to be different anyway, but things are a little bit different due to social distancing and COVID-19 that we're doing the show at this time anyway from athletic department at Northwest Missouri State in their conference room. So a little bit of a different atmosphere for the Coaches Show to start with this year.
Yeah, and it's tough not being able to be out and see so many friendly faces and fans and folks that like to come out and chat with the coaches and players each week. But we understand why we have to make these changes and hoping that hopefully we get to 2021 and we can kind of get past a lot of this stuff. But for right now, taking it easy and just happy that sports are coming back.
And I think we got a good show lined up for today as we talk football. It's been a while since we had a chance to talk football with head coach Rich Wright with the big scrimmage coming up this weekend with Washburn. And we'll be joined by cross-country coach Nick Gibson and a couple of his runners who did very well this past week.
There's always so much success within Northwest Athletics. Football just getting started with these scrimmages. And like you said, the Bearcats taking off in that Newman Invitational, now getting set for a national meet on the 14th.
And we'll talk with Northwest Athletic Director Andy Peterson about all he's had to deal with since March with the situation with the pandemic and what's coming up ahead in the next few weeks with football and basketball. So that's all coming up on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back and have all that for you right after this timeout.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back inside the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Now talking Northwest Missouri State cross country as the Bearcats had a big weekend at the Newman Invitational, which kind of turned out to essentially be an MIAA championship after not having any prior races. Only MIAA teams, the top four men's and the top five women's, made it down to the National Invitational for Division II cross country, and both Bearcat teams will be advancing on. We're talking now with sophomore Delaney Dykes from Gibson City, Illinois, and she took first in the women's portion of the Newman Invitational. Delaney, congratulations on the start, I guess, and I guess your only race to this point in the year. It's been a bizarre year, but what was that like as you get into it and you're down in Wichita and the first and only race of the year to this point? What's the mindset going into that?
I was really excited just because we haven't had an opportunity to race, and I kind of just like wanted to see where I'm at and everything, and it ended up going really well, so yeah.
Did you think that that's where you were at? I mean, essentially be able to come out and win a pseudo MIAA championship off the bat?
I thought I was going to do well, but I did not expect to win at all. I was hoping like top 10. So I was pretty excited when I finished. I'm like, what? I won? But okay.
You're coming down the final stretch and you ended up winning your race by 6 seconds. I mean, what's the mindset going into that as you're kind of like, all right, find that last kick, let's go?
I was behind the girl most of the race, and I knew if I could get towards her the last K, the last little bit, that I could definitely kick and pass her. So as soon as I like turned the last curve and saw the finish line, I was like, all right, just gotta go, don't look back, just go.
How do you prepare for that all year, since we should be, you know, the first race should have been a couple months ago, and now all of a sudden we wait and we wait and we wait, and you're training for it? Is that a mental thing, to be able to know that you have that kick and not to use it up too early or hang on to it too long? Is how do you get yourself ready for that in a race that does mean so much?
I kind of just like felt it out. Like I knew the girl was getting tired. I knew if I stayed with her, then my kick would outkick her. So I just had to feel it out the whole race and just know when to go.
Well, coming into this one, you're a sophomore. You've got Caroline Cunningham and Amber Owens also finishing in the top 10 for Northwest Missouri State. But you come into it kind of thinking, you know what? I'm under the radar. Eyes are going to be on other racers. I'm just going to go out, no pressure on me, and just kind of run my race.
That's, yeah, kind of exactly how it was. Not having much experience racing cross country, I was like, I'm going to just see what I can do, and I know it will be pretty good for me at least. And that's what I did, and I was happy with it, yeah.
I was trying to go back through last year's and look at each race. Was I right that it was the only cross-country race the MIAA championships?
Yes, for me. And it was definitely the opposite of this year. I only beat a few people. Time was way off of this year. So it's pretty exciting to do like a complete 180 and win instead of getting almost last. So,
well, I don't want to give away too much on what that time was. You shaved 7 minutes from last year's MIAA championships to what we just did over the weekend. I mean, has it been different of working with Coach Gibson and training, or how do you shave so much time off?
I think last year that was the race where I realized like I need to put in more work. So after that, like I started, you know, doing mileage, just like focusing more on track and cross country. And then over quarantine, over the summer, I continued like putting in that work. Just, you know, I knew if I work now, it would pay off later. So it's good to kind of start seeing the little bit of payoff.
At some point, though, after what we went through last spring and the summer, and does it get to feel like you're training for nothing? Is anything ever going to come around? Are we going to have a race until maybe even the indoor meets or beyond? I mean, did it feel like you were just kind of, you got a little bit monotonous of training and training with nothing actually to race in?
Yes, it does feel like that, but also just like going for a run, like I could think about that, take my mind off it. So it kind of works with each other well. So
bizarre season overall. What does this mean to you to win the Newman Invitational in advance to the D2 National Invitational in Lubbock?
It's very exciting. I think it shows as a team that we've been really doing well. Like we're improving so much from where we've been before. And I think it just starts to put Northwest on the map for the women as well.
Coach Gibson said last week that this women's team is due for a breakout. It's coming. Did you expect it all to come at once like this and to play and to finish so well in the first meet of the season?
I could tell that me, Amber, Caroline, we would get in there, get in the top, you know, few, and hopefully place well. So that's what we did. But I was not expecting first, honestly. I'm really proud of that.
What are the expectations now for you personally? Is it you know what? It's free money at this point. I'm in Lubbock. We're running. I'm just going to go out and have fun and see what happens.
Kind of, yeah, just to go out there, do my thing, and I just want to improve my time from this past weekend.
And a native of Gibson City, Illinois, how'd you make your way to Northwest?
I was really looking at a lot of schools, but then I started realizing D2 would be good for me, like I could still be competitive there, and Coach Masters reached out to me. I came for a visit, and I thought it'd be a great fit. So
it had to be an omen that your cross country coach's name is Nick Gibson, and you're from Gibson City, right?
Yeah,
like
maybe.
There's something that there working. Well, Delaney, congratulations on a great weekend. Good luck on the 14th in Lubbock, and appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Delaney Dykes joining us here on the Northwest Bearcat Coaches Show, a sophomore out of Gibson City on the Northwest Cross Country team. We will take a timeout and be back with another cross country runner, Jordan Cope, here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Millen Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville and Oregon, representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Millen Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at NWMCell.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State Cross Country as the Bearcats sweeping the individual titles at the Newman Invitational over the weekend. On the women's side, it was Delaney Dykes. On the men's side, it was senior Jordan Cope. Jordan joining us now on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. And Jordan, congratulations. A heck of a race there and some really impressive numbers. 24.50 for your 8K, a 4.59.8 pace. What was that like, diving in the first race of the year? It's this late in the year, but still you'll come out on top.
Yeah, this race was just for me, just a tempo run or something like that, because I was talking before the race with my teammates and say, no one is coming, like, pushing in the front or compete against me. And yeah, I take last, like a tempo run for get more experience in how to run for the next race.
You know, look back last year, it was constantly yourself and Kareem were two of the top spots, it seemed like, in every race, and always pushing each other. With Kareem moving on and graduating, does it feel like you have to take on a little bit more of a leadership role within this team now?
Yeah, but I think we have a good teammates. And that helped me a lot in the workouts and in the school. And yeah, but we lost Karin. It was very helpful teammate, because every day we are pushing the training and in other stuff.
You're an All-American last year. At the national meet race, you finished ninth overall. What kind of expectations do you put on yourself coming into the season, although a bizarre season with only one meet before the Invitational? What were you putting on yourself going into that?
Oh, this year was tough with all these situations, but my goal is in top five or better than that. But I think I'm in good shape right now. But just try my best in the competition.
Last year at the MIAA Championships, you finished second. But is there a bit of a chip on your shoulder to come out and take first in that race, the Newman Invitational?
Yeah, but someone happened in the competition, and you just keep in mind to finish strong and improve every race.
How do all these races, to where you're constantly at the front and placing so well at a national meet like that, how does that help you build on it each time, that sometimes it's easier to be chasing that person and to track them down? Now all of a sudden, I mean, a lot of these races, you're the front runner, people are trying to track you down. Does that experience make it easier and easier every time you go out?
Yeah, and you know, you need to training, like in the training and compete in the competition like you are training. And I'm always training in the front, and I think some races I'm failing when I did like that, going in the front all the time. It's not good, but I try my best in every competition.
Has this year, where you've had so much longer of an off season, whenever you should be racing in other cross country meets, having those wiped out, having to wait till the end of October, is that benefiting you at all? Has it been harder to kind of break through and get yourself ready for this race last Friday and now heading into the national meet?
Yeah, it's hard, but I'm preparing for every competition. Like, for every competition is different, but my goal is looking to every competition, I'm trying my best. And I planning for that, and whatever happens, some pain or something like that, just push the pace and finish strong.
So I have to say, especially for you and Delaney, both finishing tops in the Newman Invitational, but your teams across the board, training in Maryville has to be the worst thing ever. The wind is always terrible. The weather's constantly changing. There's hills everywhere. Even you get to the top of a hill and you're about to go down, you're going up another hill, it seems like. I mean, that really has to push you to be better and better, to where you go to a race like in Wichita, it probably felt like you're floating on air, didn't it?
Yeah, but this weather and the geography help us. In some condition, we can improve a lot because we have hills and downhills, and that's like cross country. Everywhere you can see in cross country is ups and downs. And for me, it's good training here and improve a lot.
So you're constantly pushing yourself and bettering yourself, and you're under a 5-minute pace here over the last weekend. Of course, we've seen you shave off even more time for your PR. What's going through your mind mentally? Where are you at during a race? Is it constantly finding a way to push yourself, or is it taking your mind completely away from your legs and your body and how you're feeling?
Especially in this competition, just relax, because I don't have in front of me other people or against me in the competition to push me to get better time or something like that. When I started the race, I was pushed a little bit, and after that, I thought that no one is come for me, and just relax in the front and finish it.
The D2 National Invitational coming up on November 14th in Lubbock, Texas. Jordan, good luck. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
That's Jordan Cope, Northwest Missouri State Senior, joining us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show as they're heading in to the D2 National Invitational coming up on November 14th. We'll take a timeout. John Coffey will be back with the head coach of Bearcat Cross Country. That is Nick Gibson, next on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni in 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information is available at 660-241-5001.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, as we are now talking with Nick Gibson, the head cross-country coach at Northwest Missouri State. And, Nick, we've already heard from a couple of runners you had that did just fantastic this past weekend competing down in Wichita, Kansas at the Newman Invitational. Before we talk more about that particular meet, let's just kind of talk about the obstacles that the teams had to face, really. Again, everyone's had to go through the same thing, obviously, with COVID, but just how do you keep your team competitive and fresh as you just try to go through the summer, the spring, summer, and then the fall up to this point to where they are in optimal shape to run and perform as well as they did on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a difficult thing to manage. I mean, obviously, you know, everyone going home in March and stuff and being, you know, home and are away from us, you know, not training together, you know, from March to essentially August. I mean, that's five months, you know, that they're away and, you know, trying to, you know, help stay motivated and stuff when the uncertainties of even having a season we didn't know at the time, you know, and the goal, you know, going into the quarantine, you know, I was trying to, you know, motivate them to, you know, try to work on their weaknesses. You know, this is a great time to, you know, if we can work on our weaknesses during this time, you know, obviously getting stronger with running, you know, maybe running some more miles than we had before. But, you know, trying to minimize our weaknesses during this months of, you know, training, you know, where we have more than we normally do because we didn't have an outdoor season. You know, and that was the goal for everybody, was to try to improve on that and, you know, try to get better, you know, because I thought we'd have a season, you know, just with the nature of cross country and stuff, you know, as a sport, you know, it's a low risk for the NCAA. So we figured we were probably the sport that would have a season. So, you know, just trying to stay motivated, you know, for that. But then obviously once the NCAA decided to cancel, you know, it was a little bit of a letdown and, you know, a little bit of disappointment. And then we were just like, okay, well, we'll focus on, you know, conference. You know, we still felt like we had a really good shot for conference. And then obviously they canceled that. And then, you know, so, you know, the highs and lows were definitely, you know, very difficult for them. And, I think they did a really good job with, you know, trying to stay mentally focused and obviously, you know, maybe different from, you know, what I was seeing from what they were thinking. But I know they put in, you know, the work over the summer and they did a really good job this whole fall, you know, just putting in the work and trying to stay, you know, motivated, you know, for if we got the chance. And luckily we got the chance and it definitely showed. But obviously during the fall, we dealt with, you know, COVID cases. You know, there was a time frame where, you know, we lost half the girls' team, you know, from contact tracing or COVID cases. And then, you know, recently we lost, you know, half the men's team. Well, we lost the whole men's team to COVID contact cases, and then half of them got it. And, you know, half of them, or three of them, just got out right in time for the meet. So, you know, just dealing with all that, you know, this fall and just trying to manage it, it's not been easy, but I know the athletes have done a really good job with dealing with it and preparing themselves for it.
You talk about a number of your athletes that came down with COVID and some of the things that you hear about, the symptoms and things that are involved with it. I imagine from a standpoint of lung capacity and things, that's a little bit of an added challenge for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the big thing. The ones that raced that had it, I mean, that's what they said. It's just like, my lungs, my legs felt great. I felt like I could go faster, but I was just having trouble breathing. And it's like, well, I mean, that's one of the things we hear about with COVID is, you know, the lungs and the breathing. That's a major issue. And for us, that is a big part of what makes us good runners, is our lung capacity and able to, you know, process the oxygen, you know, through our bodies. And if you're not getting enough, then you're not going to be able to run as fast. But I mean, they still ran well, you know, for it. And obviously, you know, keep improving and getting better and keeping getting over, you know, the sickness, they're going to get better, you know, over time.
Was that something too that you worked with the athletic trainers on the Northwest staff as well to try to rebuild that lung capacity, and something that really is an unknown going into this year?
Yeah, I mean, that was the big thing, is there's so much unknown. Everybody gets, you know, different symptoms. Even the ones that, you know, got positive, everybody had a little bit different of, you know, symptoms and cases and felt different with it. So all the, you know, they were positive, but yet everybody's symptoms were a little bit different. And obviously, you know, coming back, you don't know how everyone's going to respond to it, but working with the trainers, they have their return to play protocol, which, you know, they put them in and, you know, working in, and then we work together on the days where we needed to test their lungs and to test their heart rate to make sure that, you know, they were doing the right things so that they could return to play properly. And, you know, just making sure that we're doing the right steps so that, you know, obviously the goal for them is to stay healthy. And, you know, that is the main thing, is we don't want anything to happen, and making sure that they're safe, you know, coming along, and that they are ready to compete, but also safely.
And it really looks like you were able to get them in peak condition for this past weekend. How much did it mean that all of a sudden you had something that you could kind of point to, right? That you got some competition coming down the line there. Did you notice a little bit of a difference in the way the team went through workouts when all of a sudden this Newman Invitational became a reality for you?
Yeah, I think once it came to reality, we just were just like, all right, like, we're excited. Like, we actually have this, you know, and now it's like, we need to make sure we do the right thing so we don't go into quarantine right before the race, so that we actually can race. You know, so it's just making sure we're doing the right things. But I could definitely sense the excitement, you know, from the team, you know, just being able to compete, you know, because it's been since March, so it's been, you know, a long time. And some of the kids that redshirted last year, you know, haven't raced in almost 2 years, so it's, you know, relearning how to race again.
And how much fun was it when you saw them, both of the races come down to the finish line, and you had a couple runners in green leading the pack there?
I mean, it was really fun to watch. I mean, especially, you know, with the ladies, you know, three ladies in the top 10, you know, most of the race. I mean, it had been probably been a while since the women's team here has had that, you know, and then watching Delaney, you know, take home the victory, you know, beating, you know, the Central Missouri girl, who's, you know, one of the best girls in the conference and in the country. You know, that's no small feat for her to do that. So it was really fun to watch that. And, you know, Jordan just does what Jordan does and, you know, just goes out and runs fast and runs hard and, you know, does what he does needs to do to place as high as he can.
Well, let's just talk about what's up next with the Division II Cross Country National Invitational down in Lubbock on November 14th. A little bit of time to get ready for that one now. What's the strategy involved to make sure everyone's in peak condition for that event?
I mean, it's trying to keep everyone healthy. I mean, obviously, you know, racing takes a different toll on the body than, you know, workouts. So it's, you know, making sure that, you know, we're not too sore from it, and also to get, you know, a couple more quality workouts in before headed down to Texas next week. You know, a lot of it too is, you know, we needed that race. You know, usually we have three or four races before our championship races where we get better and better each week. Well, we started off at, you know, first race, you know, out the gates hot. So I know that, you know, the team's going to improve, you know, the next time we've run. You know, and some of the teams that we competed against this weekend had already run 2-3 times before we did. So, you know, for us to do what we did, you know, I think is really exciting for them because we can still improve and get better.
I know sometimes it's hard to compare times from meet to meet because courses are so much different and conditions are different for a meet. But when you look at the teams you're bringing into the national meet, just how good do you feel about the teams you're bringing in for this?
I mean, I feel as good as we have been. I know the men's team's, you know, just as strong, if not stronger than the team we had last year, and the women's team's head and shoulders above, you know, what we've had before. I mean, so it's exciting to see and, you know, kind of look at, you know, some of the other meets and conferences that I've run and, you know, see where our time's kind of lined up. Obviously, yeah, like courses vary and stuff, but, you know, for the most part, you get in a general idea, of, you know, what teams are up there and, you know, where we fit in. And, you know, I think both of the teams, you know, could finish in the top 10 at that meet, you know, if we do the right stuff. But obviously, you know, never know on the day, and hopefully everything goes right and we don't have to put any people in the quarantine going into that, and we can get everybody down to Texas.
Boy, I tell you, there's some challenges for coaches that you guys have never had to face before this year, isn't there?
That is definitely true. It's never been, oh, I gotta make sure, like, you know, obviously, you know, sickness and stuff happens, but it's not like, all right, we need to make sure that everybody stays safe so that, you know, because if one person's positive, then potentially the whole team's going into quarantine. So it's just trying to mitigate, you know, the opportunities for that to happen.
All right, Nick, thanks a lot for being with us. Okay, that is a cross-country coach at Northwest Missouri State, Nick Ipson. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up on the KXCV KRNW Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Today's game is underwritten by Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering support to Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri each day during times of uncertainty through emergency services and a local team of providers and nurses. More information at clarindahealth.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carlson Seed in Blanchard, Iowa. Carlson Seed's been family-owned since 1973 and distributes DeKalb Asgrow seeds, chemicals, precision planting products, and more. For more information, carlsonseed.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum has served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show on the Bearcat Radio Network and KXCV KRNW, and joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. And Rich, we were talking before we went on, it seems like it's been forever since we had a chance to sit down and do an interview with you.
Almost a year. It's kind of crazy, other than the one recruiting thing, but actually talking about football, it would have been the first week in December. And, you know, here we are, it's November already, and just kind of getting things kicked off.
Is it weird? We're going into a game week for the first time in well over a year, it seems like. Is it hard to get yourself back in the groove, or is this flipping a switch that, man, football's back, let's go?
It's, you know, it's been a little bit different. I'm not going to make any bones about it. It's just been so much of yes, we are, no, we're not, yes, we are, no, we're not, yes, we are, no, we're not. And it's been frustrating. Frustrating for myself, frustrating for the kids. But when we decided to start to practice, having done this for a number of years, spring ball gets really old by the end of spring practice and just hitting the same people. So we tried to create a carrot, so to speak, for the kids at the end of the season where we'd be able to finish up with some games. There wasn't a lot of appetite, at least within the league, to play games that really matter, because at the end of the day, they don't really matter. And that's what kind of gave me the idea to hold more of an NFL preseason style game, whereas they're typically making those evaluations for their roster slots. And so you play good on good for a half, and then you play your younger kids. And it really, as I started to think about it, it really appealed to me, just because we don't get a lot of opportunities to get to see our younger kids play, and unless the game is so lopsided one way or the other that it dictates. And so for us to be able to get those kids meaningful snaps and get to see what they do when the lights come on is actually kind of intriguing, looking forward to 2021 and how we're going to build our roster. So it's almost the best of both worlds. We're trying to minimize and eliminate some of the injury risk, make it a situation where everybody can maximize what we're getting out of it.
You talked about it being such an on-again, off-again type of thing. Really, it started back right before spring ball when all this began to hit. How were you able to keep the players focused on what needed to be done throughout the entire offseason, especially with spring ball being called off, and then trying to put them through some offseason workouts and training and things as you lead it into what was going to turn into a fall without a lot of football?
I think the biggest thing, and it's something that we talk about all the time as a program, but it was magnified this year and in really all walks of life, is that there's so much that was going to be beyond our control. It was to really truly focus on the things that we could control, and that's kind of the way that we attacked it, whether it was our kids doing workouts, trying, because at that point we were, everybody was thinking that by the end of summer this was going to go away. We would be ready. It was going to be the team that, prepared the best when the situation was bad, when the country was on a lockdown, basically, that was ultimately going to have an advantage. We told them repeatedly that, it's like going to Vegas, and everybody's gotten dealt a bad hand, but it's how you're going to play the cards that are going to determine our outcome and moving forward. And being able to do that, I think, allowed our kids to focus on those things, gave them a little bit of control, a little bit of power, and help them, I think, more than anything else mentally, stay on a positive track.
We see the MIAA go through and say, all right, we're going to open this up. You can play four games or joint practice scrimmage, whatever works best for you. And even some teams able to find an FCS school or something like that to play. And you talked about not a lot of appetite within the MIAA in some place to be able to get those. For fans, and we talked about this on the podcast a little bit, but for fans that are like, why aren't we just going out and playing whoever state that's an FCS school? It's not that easy just to call up a team and say, hey, we're going to go and we're going to meet on this Saturday and we'll see you there. Like, there's a lot more that goes into it, right?
Yeah, there is. And just to be completely candid, we were told, as all this evolved, we were actually told that the vote for what the MIAA was going to do officially wouldn't happen until September 17th. And that's when the presidents met. And it put us behind the eight ball in the sense that, up until that point, we were told that there is nothing going in the fall. Well, there were a couple schools that went behind closed doors, and you don't just have – so the vote was on Thursday the 17th, and by Friday they had a schedule. That doesn't happen. So that was done weeks in advance. There was some inside information that wasn't shared with the rest of the league. It is what it is as far as that's concerned. But once that kind of came about, and that the MIAA really didn't have jurisdiction over what the individual schools did, you're right. I called over 100 FCS programs. Everybody that was either playing or I thought we'd have a chance to play, and I was told emphatically no. Over and over and over again. Any school that's actually playing this fall was contacted and was told no. Anybody that was playing a partial schedule was contacted and was told no. Anybody that wasn't playing that was maybe looking for a game, because that's what our kids wanted. Our kids weren't so interested without an MIAA championship being on the line and playing MIAA schools, but there was an appetite to play a couple of FCS games, and we would have done so if we could have gotten it scheduled. But even some of the other teams that are playing said FCS schools would play those other teams, but they wouldn't play us. So,
was that basically a case of a victim of your own success, where you've been at the top of Division II for so long that some of those teams didn't want to play a team like Northwest?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I had a great conversation with Matt Entz at North Dakota State. When I called him, he just said, you know, now I know why you guys are as successful as you are. He just said, you know, if I could help you, I would. They had already been practicing for 7 weeks. They played Central Arkansas, I think, sometime around the middle of October. And I told him that we couldn't be ready to play until later into November. And he just said, we've been practicing so long that I don't want to continue to drag that out. Plus, we have a spring season. He goes, but I would like you to know one thing. He said, you're the only school in the country that's called North Dakota State to play a football game. And he said, we've called a lot of schools that won't play us, and everything from, you know, North Carolina to some other places. But it's kind of the North Dakota State mentality that, you know, when North Dakota State plays an FBS school, if the FBS school wins, they should. And if they don't, it looks bad. And North Dakota State's good enough that they're going to beat a lot of FBS schools. And I think that the level of respect is there for our program, what we've been able to do historically, and that I see from an optics standpoint that it's not a good game for a lot of those schools to play.
Whenever we look at what we do have coming up for Northwest and scrimmages against Washburn and Central Missouri, and those two teams also meeting up in kind of a round robin, I mean, you look at it, those are three respected schools, those are three respected coaches that have been around the league for so long. Was that pretty easy to put together once things kind of did come together for it?
Yeah, you know, for me, and I was the one that kind of reached out to the other schools, it was guys that I trust, guys that I respect. There were a couple other programs that I reached out to within the league as well, but guys that I knew that would align and do things the right way that I could trust. You know, you're going into this, it's kind of a gentleman's agreement. There is, you know, so you got to have people that want to get the same things accomplished as you do. And with Coach Shurig and Coach Sabota, I knew that would align perfectly. And, you know, it's been pretty seamless as far as that's concerned. There's obviously some challenges with it. I've been in contact with both of them. With the COVID crisis right now, you know, we've got some guys out due to contacts. They have guys out due to contacts. We are all testing. Washburn and ourselves are testing this Wednesday. I fully anticipate there's going to be, you know, this isn't going to be the end of it. And so it's just trying to mitigate through all that stuff to find a way to yes on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess the big key is just you have to be as flexible as you possibly can with what's coming up here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, flexibility is probably an understatement. You know, it's the one thing that I actually had a conversation with Coach Sabota this morning, and he said, what's going to not get you to playing this Saturday? And I said, it's if we take a large number of cases within a position group. That's where it's going to decimate you. So, you know, if our quarterbacks or our offensive line, you can't play a football game without those guys. And so it would be a high test level at a specific position that would probably derail what we're trying to get accomplished.
Is this hard maneuvering when you look at it? You have so many guys that you want to get out there on the field. Older guys, I mean, if they don't play, it'll be 20-plus months by the time they get a real game next year. But then young guys you want to evaluate, how do you kind of manage those snap counts?
Again, we're trying to get the best of both worlds. And that was a big concern for me is that, you know, we had the option to just practice this fall. But you can't simulate game snaps in practice. And I did not want those kids to go over a year and a half without playing in any type of competitive situation. You know, you still want to make evaluations. So depending upon how the flow of the game goes, I'm hoping that a half is enough for our older kids. You know, guys like Sam Roberts and Tanner Owen, I don't need to watch a whole lot of film to see what those guys can do. whereas I want to pay a little more attention to some of the guys that haven't. So I think it'll work out well. It also, another concern, and don't know if you guys have thought about this or not, but we're basically, we would be at the end of the regular season right now. And so by the time we're starting to play, it's playoff time. You know, for the guys that have decided to come back for their fifth year, I'm trying to create enough of a window that, knock on wood, if there was an injury, that they would be ready to go the following year. And that was my big push, unless there was going to be some type of championship, as to why I didn't want to play games in the spring. Because if you took a knee injury or a shoulder injury, which, you know, obviously happened quite a bit in football, the chances of those guys return to play for the fall would be slim to none. So, you know, trying to mitigate some of that and have those guys not have to play four quarters. Remember, we haven't played in a football game in a long time. So to be able to play a half, I think, is a good blend of getting your feet wet, getting acclimated to game speed, doing those things, but at the same time trying to mitigate the risk.
When the announcement came out that you had this kind of round-robin situation with Washburn and Central set up, did you see a little bit of difference in the attitude of the team when they took to the practice fields and went through drills and so on, where all of a sudden now they've got a little bit something to play for?
Definitely. I saw two transitions. I can tell you that on September 28th, when we got to practice, you could see a switch go off in the kids. I mean, just from not having anything that was normal. And what's been hard is just with the NCAA restrictions for us and the cost that wasn't going to be involved to test, it's difficult when you sit here in your community and you watch the high school team play every Friday night. And most of our kids are from the Midwest, and their high schools are playing every Friday night. You wake up on Saturday morning, and college game day's on, and you're not playing. And you found all these people that have gotten a pathway to yes. And so I just think there's a level of frustration there. So just for us to be able to go out and practice was therapeutic. Then once you do that for a little bit, they're like, when are we going to play a game? You know, and so we were able to get this done. It was really for the kids. Yes, it's going to be a great evaluative tool for us, but it's really for them. They train so hard. I don't think anybody realizes just how much they sacrifice to be able to do this. And unlike a lot of other sports, we only are promised 11 opportunities. And this year we're only promised two. And so it does mean something. It's exciting. I'm looking forward to going out to practice today, because there'll be a little bit of extra juice.
As far as the fans might expect that are either watching or listening in for what's coming up on Saturday, just kind of take us through the process, the way this will work on Saturday.
It's going to be basically a regular game. So the agreement with Coach Schurig and myself for this one, I don't know if the scoreboard is going to be on or not. I really don't care. You know, you're going to follow the action. You're going to know what happens. But it's everything will be live. You know, so kickoffs, returns, because we both want to take a look at some of our younger kids as far as special teams are concerned. We will not fake a punt. We're not going to fake a field goal. We're not going to live rush punts and live rush PAT field goals, just to try and, you know, again, mitigate some of those things. We haven't been practicing like we normally would, so we'll set up more of a return game. And just allow the specialists to do what they do. Otherwise, it'll look like a football game.
Well, Rich, it's been good having you with us on the Coach's Show here. It's been way too long that we had a chance to talk to you.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get all this stuff behind us so that we can get back to some normal football stuff.
All right. Sounds great. Look forward to talking to you on Saturday.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Again, a reminder, the support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza and Ranch and U.S. 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza and Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaandranch.com. We'll be back and have more on the Coach's Show right after this.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcats comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow has provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951.
More information on Sure Grill products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Clarinda Regional Health Center, open 7 to 7 daily. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. The walk-in clinic is also open from 8 to noon Saturdays. Appointment information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're joined now by Andy Peterson, the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State. And Andy, this has been a year like none other, and I imagine from a standpoint of athletic director, it's been one that's presented a lot of challenges for you this year.
Understatement of the year, John. Yeah, it's been, nobody signed up for this, and we you know, we understand and appreciate that, and you know, so our focus is trying to be to do what we can for our student athletes, regardless of the sport, regardless of decisions that are out of our control. And, you know, we've been able to do that to a certain extent, not as much as we've obviously wanted to, but, you know, kind of on par with what is going around and us trying to manage that and provide a worthwhile experience for our student athletes.
I imagine the one word that comes down is you really have to be flexible this year, because it seems like there's been a number of occasions where you've had one kind of plan in place coming down from the conference or the NCAA, and then a couple weeks later or a day or two later, that's just been completely changed.
Yeah, every time. And, you know, it gets, that's the part I think gets the most frustrating, is you we have overpromised and undelivered through this whole deal. And so Coach Wright and I especially have talked about, you know, football changed plans four times. And so you get the kids kind of ramped up on something, and then you pull the rug out from underneath them. And it's, you know, it's just, it's that, that's part that has been the hardest, is for our winter sports, men's, women's basketball, indoor, outdoor track and field, who were at championships. You know, it was quick, you know, it was a quick, clean kill, if you will. And for our fall sports, it's been a slow, painful death. Just, they could see it coming. You saw it coming in May. You saw it coming in June. You saw it coming in July, August. And, you know, the seasons get canceled. And so ever since then, it's just been a struggle. It's been, it's just a daily battle on what can we do? You know, what's going on 30 miles down the road, what's going on in the conference, what's going on in our region, and how can we best manage that or meet those standards or circumstances that are presented to us. And that's been the hardest part. But yeah, the flexibility, the planning and planning and planning, and then scrapping it all because nothing, you're not going to get to play, or, you know, planning, and then you actually do get to do that is almost to the point now where it's you enjoy that because you just want to have something. So, you know, to have cross country last weekend, be able to run, to hopefully have football, be able to play this weekend. You know, we've got a couple of men's and women's basketball scrimmages soon where they can start their season. What a little bit of normalcy. That stuff is warranted.
And I know the number one priority is the health and safety of the student athletes involved with whether it's setting up the practices or any type of competition down the line as well. But on top of that, how much is the budget playing a role in what can and cannot be done right now?
You know, some, a lot. You know, we're trying not to let that be the decision maker on what we can or can't do, but it does have an impact on it. You know, when you talk about a football season getting canceled, and that's, you know, almost a third of our budget comes in from student or from football season tickets and football tickets on game day. And so to not have that revenue generating sport, you know, volleyball, we charge admission for, so we get a little bit of revenue from that, you know, to not have, especially football though. And then now we're going into a football or a basketball season that's going to be much limited compared to what we've done in the past. You know, that does have an impact on what we can do, you know. So we've met with all of our spring sports with the exception of one, and we'll meet with them soon just about the budget and what we're up against and how we can make that, make ends meet at the end of the year. Cause when you have all of our spring sports, are non-revenue generating in terms of admissions, letting people into games and visit and, you know, watching the games. So that becomes difficult. You know, last year, if there's any type of a, silver lining to COVID, it was spring sports were canceled budgetarily. And so we just didn't have as big of a spend as we normally would have. So all the fundraising and revenue generating efforts that we were able to accomplish last year, we were able to keep that in our foundation accounts and haven't been able to touch them. And so it kind of got to the point where we thought, man, this year, if we can do that all again, we're actually going to be plus side of the budget where we can plan to a number instead of trying to revenue generate or fundraise to a number. But then when you have football canceled and all these other, you know, fundraisers, revenue generators canceled, it becomes difficult to plan for that again. So we're kind of back in the same boat we were, you know, 6-7 months ago. You know, we're just a little more aware of it. So the health and safety of student athletes is number one. There's nobody up here that denies that COVID's not a serious issue. It's not, doesn't have a drastic impact on people's lives and their health. And so that's where there's an impasse there on sport, and how the virus is transmitted and doing what's best for our student athletes. So it's tough.
I know the athletic training staff at Northwest Missouri State always does a fantastic job, and they just have more on their plate now dealing with this on top of the normal type of injuries and things they deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, those people are the epitome of professionals. You know, you can go down the whole list. You know, Kelly and Nick and Christy, Liz and Matt, our GA, Kelly Griffin, those people care about the people in their care. You know, Kelly's been labeled as the mother hen of the whole department, and rightly so, and she's trained all of those assistants to have that similar mindset. I mean, it's, you know, Liz is passionate about those football guys, and their health and safety and their well-being. So, they don't let me mess around with, you know, well, I think we can ignore that or we can do this. And, it's not that way because they're consummate professionals and, very well connected. They're a great resource for me in how to connect with other medical professionals around that know what's going on and what's the best thing to do for student athletes and that sort of thing. So yeah, they're phenomenal. They're top notch. I'd put them up against anybody around for sure, and somebody that I highly value, you know, their opinion, their expertise, because it's always based in fact and solid, just solid for the student athletes.
Now, you touched a little bit about this early on with football getting a scrimmage coming up this weekend in Topeka with Washburn. Then a couple weeks later, Central Missouri comes to Bearcat Stadium. Might talk a little bit about the protocols that will be involved with taking a football team to Topeka. And then, of course, a couple weeks later, having a home scrimmage here at on the Northwest Missouri State campus. And some of the things you might be able to learn out from this first weekend.
Yeah, I think the main thing was partnering with Washburn and Central Missouri, two groups that we felt like, you know, Coach Wright has great relationships with those coaches. I've got, you know, pretty good relationships with those ADs, and our communities, our campuses are close enough together that we can drive day of the game, play the game and drive home and not get back at 2 or 3 in the morning, you know. And so you speak about the budget stuff. That's huge for a football program to go somewhere and not have to spend, you know, a night in a hotel, you know, 50 plus rooms in a hotel, and you know, it gets expensive quick and you got to feed the guys 3 or 4 more times, that sort of thing. So big impact, positive side to the budget, but then also just that experience of being able to go live, even if it's for a short period, you know, your ones and twos, you know, not playing a ton, not playing 90 plus snaps and risking injury or something like that. But man, if they can get 20 to 30 really good, high quality reps where they feel that buzz and that adrenaline of live football, that way they don't have to go, you know, 600 plus days without playing football. So, you know, that's big number one for our student athletes. And then just, you know, they've worked so hard. They've done everything we've asked them to do in terms of quarantining and staying away from people and limiting their social lives, whatever that looks like, and staying in school, you know, staying eligible via Zoom and everything else, not being able to go to class in person. You know, they've changed their lives so that they can play football. And, so to give them a little bit of a carrot, a little bit of a reward at the end to play is big. But then also just for them too to work on stuff, to be evaluated for the younger guys, for the older guys. Some of them need a little bit of closure. Some of them really want to brush the dust off so that they're ready to go next spring and next fall. So there'll be some goodness, a lot of goodness that comes out of it for the football kids, especially. There's some headaches that come around with, you know, with what Central Stadium's different than ours, Washburn Stadium's different than ours, their setup's different. So just, you know, when you talk about capacity and letting people in, it's just a different animal in all three spots. So learn a little bit from Washburn this weekend. I am glad that I'm not the guinea pig going first. I told Lauren that. But it makes sense for the three of us to try to work together and do what's best for our student athletes first and foremost, but then also what works on each one of our individual campuses.
Now, again, the question I'm going to ask next, I'm sure, depends a lot on what you learned this weekend at Topeka as far as from a fan standpoint. Yeah. What is available to them and what can they expect to follow Bearcat football?
First and foremost, everything's going to be broadcast, all three games. And I say three games because I'm including the Washburn Central game next weekend. All three games will be broadcast on the MIAA network, free to view. So if you've ever watched a Bearcat game online, that's still going to be the case there. All three campuses have committed to putting a first-class, you know, broadcast up there so you can watch them. You know, Central Missouri and Washburn have a little different setups with their season ticket holders and the amount of stands they have, that sort of thing. So they can accommodate more folks. You know, the other part that I've got working against me is it's the holiday weekend or going into the holiday weekend where, you know, after that game on Saturday the 21st, all of our student athletes are going home. And it's a little bit of a different scenario on that to not have a super spreader event, I think is the term everybody's using. So just with us, you know, trying to take care of our student athletes first and foremost. So we're gonna give them, you know, every one of our student athletes is going to get four tickets to dole out to whoever, you know, they seem fit, mom and dad, aunt and uncle, grandma, grandpa, brother, whoever. We're going to do that. You know, Coach Wright, the football program's got a big need for a recruiting visit. So we're going to have a big section of stands that are held off for recruits and their families so they can come and check it out. We're going to protect a little bit of Central Missouri's folks, a limited number, a couple hundred people, for Central Missouri parents to come. And then, you know, to try to get a little bit of a game day atmosphere. I'm working with Katie Strickland to get the band in there to try to have some pomp and circumstance, if you will. But they're obviously, when they've got 150 plus kids on the marching band to try to fill up some stands, they're going to take up a big space too. So ours will pretty much be closed to the public. It'll be on the players pass lists, that they'll be able to distribute out early enough that we know where we're at, you know, seating wise. And then we'll be able to broadcast it. And obviously I think one of you two, Matt or John, will be play by playing the whole thing, so you can always listen on the BRN to get a hold of
them. There you go. Just like being there. We like
that's right. That's right. No doubt. Visual pictures.
There you go. As far as basketball, then you look at this that weekend of the 21st. The basketball team's on the road. They open up the 19th down in Oklahoma with Northeastern State, and then head over to Rogers State that Saturday. So basketball's right here as well. After so much time of really nothing going on from a competition standpoint, all of a sudden we got a lot of things going on at once.
Yeah, no doubt. And we were joking about that this morning in our admin meeting at the top of my agenda. You know, I had actual events up there, which we haven't had in 6 months or so. So, it's been a long time coming. But, yeah, with basketball, you know, it's a little bit of a different animal just because, you know, once again, everybody's venues are different. Everybody's got different seating capacities. They've got different egress and ingress and season ticket holders, non-season ticket holders, all that sort of stuff. So we're still working through some of those plans. You know, once again, we're going to take care of our players' families first and foremost. We've only got two home games before Christmas break. I think our teams play seven. They've got five road games and two at home. Those two home games will look different than our home games after the break. I'm sure of that. What that exactly means yet, I'm not sure. Like I said right before I got on here with you, John, I was downstairs. I almost forgot the interview. I did forget the interview until somebody called me. I was downstairs trying to figure out social distancing and how we can get some benches set up and some of our support folks and media and that sort of thing so that we can we can present a basketball game in some way, shape, or form.
Well, Andy, it's good to have you with us on the program, and it's good to finally have an opportunity to just talk a little sports.
That's right. That's right. Coach's show. This is obviously different, but this means we're getting there somehow, some way.
That's right. That's right. Andy, again, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, John.
That's Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State, Andy Peterson, on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coach's Show. We've got football coming up on Saturday. It should be a fun afternoon as we go over to Topeka and face Washburn. That will be a 2 o'clock pregame show with Bearcat Game Day, and then a 3 o'clock kickoff Northwest and Washburn in a special scrimmage over in Topeka. Again, you can hear that right here on KXCV, KRNW, beginning at 2 o'clock with their pregame before the 3 o'clock kickoff from Topeka, Northwest, and Washburn. Thanks to everyone involved with our broadcast today on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back with you next Tuesday at noon. For Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, and so long.